podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Well, well, well. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to a brand new TT pod. I am your host, Ben. Today we were going to be planning on speaking about Fulham and looking over to Norwich. And the stream was all scheduled. The thumbnail was all made. And it was just going to be a little chill stream. But a certain German decides to drop the bombshell that after 9 years of his tenure at Liverpool, this will be his last few months at the club. And it's fair to say everyone's had a pretty crazy day going through it. I've been trying to cover it the best I can on TAT whilst working. It's just been absolutely mental. So for tonight, I brought along myself and three other top class guests on, you guys were part of the podcast. That's not the right word. Members of the podcast, and we're just going to discuss it. There's no notes, there's nothing planned. We're just going to say exactly how we feel. We're going to say exactly how this man has made us feel, and tears will probably be shed, and I have no shame whatsoever in crying over this wonderful, wonderful man. So Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking before we came on. I think I'm in denial. I was saying to Paddy, I was like, I'm in a pretty positive mood. And Paddy let me know I was in denial, to be fair. Which is right, because I am. I'm trying to look ahead. I'm trying to see this as a positive in the sense that he's leaving on his own terms. Judging by all the information he spoke about today, he was feeling this during pre-season. You know, he was halfway through training and realised it, you know, and then he was sitting in meetings in November and realised it again. So he's doing what's best for him. And, you know, he seems very confident in the structure of the club. He seems very, very confident in the players. I'm sure you guys will all echo the same thing because we're all somewhat similar in age. But, like, you know, I was very young when this lad took over. I think I was 16 when he took over. I'm 25 now. Yeah, so it's like it's your entire adult life. It's your manager. If that makes sense, you know, it's your manager. That's what he was. I'm so grateful that this is the one we had. You know, I don't want to hog the mic. You guys are all gonna have plenty to share, but just a lot of incredible memories. You know, one particular memory that like talking about him like he died here, but one particular memory that like sticks with me about like the early Klopp tenure. So I was in a pub with a bunch of my mates, and they're one of my best mates, I'm telling you. And we just lost away. It's the second leg of the Dortmund game, and we're sitting there, we're all playing pool. And he says we start the game. He's like, "Oh, I can't wait! Dortmund are going to throw you again. Aubameyang, Royce going to probably put 2-3 past you." And that was a game where Origi, Sacco, Lovren and Milner and Sturridge just decided to turn up and put in the blinder. And you know, he turned out to believe us. He's one of the best managers to ever grace the Premier League. He's one of the best managers Liverpool have ever had. He's the best Liverpool manager of the Premier League era. We can't replace him. So we just, you know, what you do is you move forward. And it's the next step, you know, after Shankly came Paisley. And that's kind of how you need to see it in your mind. You can't just think that things are going to end now. Liverpool Football Club is bigger than any one individual. But, you know, what he's done for the club and the city and the league can never be understated.
Absolutely. And before we do move on, brilliantly put by Mike, I just need to plug the sponsor of the podcast. It is Your Foot Card. If you guys have watched our podcast previously, you'll know this by now, but these guys are amazing. They've been so good to us and TAT as a whole. And we are currently running a giveaway with these guys, and it's team of the year time, and you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on in FIFA right now. And to celebrate, we are giving away 2 team of the year cards. I don't know why Virgil says striker. He's not a striker. He's a centre back. Alisson, obviously the goalkeeper. Two physical copies of these in A3 size. So I'm assuming, let me just get one from here. They're going to be like this sort of size. And then we're also giving away some FIFA points as well, FC points rather, nowadays. 2,200 of those. So all you've got to do is follow TAT, which I'm assuming if you're watching this video, you already are. Follow Your Foot Card on Twitter and then retweet the post. That is it. You don't need to tag your friends. You don't need to do anything else. It's simple as that. You're entered in the giveaway. And then obviously check out the website. There's a link in the description. And there's also a link to this giveaway as well. You can just click it and it'll take you straight to the giveaway link on Twitter. Oh, gosh, where were we? Paddy, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm pretty heartbroken, to be honest with you. As we were saying before, Mike had the driving lesson this morning. I had a driving lesson myself. And, you know, it's one of them moments where you're never going to forget where you were.
I said the exact same thing.
We never, ever have the radio on during driving, but for some reason we decided to put it on, and it was the first thing that was said. I genuinely thought it was a joke.
How was your driving after you heard it?
It was hard, man. It was hard because I was up in Southport, so I had to like drive back to Crosby, which is like 20 minutes. Teary eyed, I was on the verge of breaking down. Yeah. Then, you know, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was, you know, he's leaving, you know, so let Sven-Goran Eriksson do his thing for the Legends game or something like that. And then we put Talk Sport on and, you know, you've got Jim White and all that, you know, talking about, you know, he's actually going. It just feels as though it's come at a really weird time. If there ever was a good time to announce that he was leaving, I just don't get it in terms of, you know, we're flying at the minute. If this had come this time last year, I'm pretty sure everyone would have, you know, maybe understood it. You know, that team came to the end of its cycle. He looked knackered. The fans were knackered. Everyone was just done in. But yeah, because of how the season's gone so far and how it could go in the next 2-3 months, to have this announcement today that, you know, the fella who's, you know, I was 15 when Klopp came in. I was still in secondary school. I'll be 24 when he leaves. A lot's happened in my life since Klopp's come in. He's responsible for, you know, 2, 3, 4 of the best nights of my entire life that will probably never, ever be topped. And, you know, it's really difficult to look past May, June time when he goes. But as Mike said, you know, the club goes on. We'll still be here. We'll still be wanting the best. But the decision makers at the club now probably have the biggest decision they'll ever make.
Even bigger than when they chose to get him, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was between Klopp and Ancelotti at the time, and obviously they struck gold with getting Jürgen in. But there aren't that many top class managers out there at the minute, which is my main worry. Obviously, we'll get on to talk about potential replacements later. But yeah, it's pretty sickening, to be honest. I won't be ashamed to admit I had a little cry this morning. It's just it's you know, it's just emotional, man.
No, of course, absolutely. You know, I was exactly the same. I was at work, I was on my computer, and I seen the video first before I saw what the video was actually about. And I thought, hang on, Klopp sat down and it's an LFC TV video. Like, I immediately thought an extension, to be honest, like 2 more years. Started watching it, and then you could just tell that in the tone of how the guy behind the camera says, "Jürgen, you've got something to say to the fans." I was like, oh, something's not right here. Hopefully he's not, you know, ill or something like that, because that would have just been even worse than him leaving. But he just, as the words came out of his mouth, my jaw just dropped, and it's like, nah, this has got to be like some sort of nightmare. Somebody wake me up, because this is, I'm not exaggerating, this is one of the worst days. Like, I said that to multiple people today, and they've all told me, if this is one of the worst days of your life, you're going to live a happy life. But they just, it's just how I feel. Like, this man, like you, Paddy, he's all I've known as an adult. Like, my earliest memories of Liverpool, you know, is just watching it with my brother and that. But as you really get into it, as you really get, you know, you start going to games, you start paying for the games yourself instead of relying on your parents. You start traveling up and down the country. Even I went to Germany in pre-season this year. And it's just stuff like that. It's like, when you are that connected and you're that invested to not just the team, but the man that's leading the team, it is a big change. And it is something that is going to take a long time for any of us to understand. And Craig, I'm going to bring you in, mate. What were your immediate thoughts when you saw this news? Because I can only imagine it was the same as all of us, mate. Just shock and sadness.
Disbelief. Yeah, complete and utter disbelief. Like here, just saying, saw the words Klopp's gone. Yeah, because I'd actually seen the notification come in from LFC or the TV type of thing. And I was like, oh, that's probably just like a, you know, a travel update for the next match or something, you know, like just... I didn't expect signings. I didn't expect contract extension or anything like that. I was just like, oh, it'll be a nothing burger. It'll be absolutely nothing. And then, you know, your message came in. And that's the only reason I actually went on and actually looked into what was going on, because there wasn't any other tweets out at that point. Or I was just a little bit busy. So in the mix of whatever conversation I was having, just had to stop it. I was like, sorry, I'll come back to you there in a minute. And just like dropped what I was doing, went into it. And yeah, like, you know, in fairness to the women in my lives, my mother's around and the wife is here as well. They didn't mock me. They didn't like, you know, make my reaction feel unmanly, I think was the thing. So I looked for a hug straight away. It was just one of those things where I was like, guys, it's over. It's one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my lifetime, 100%. Yeah. Because I'm probably, you know, close to 10 years older than most of you, so I've pretty much lived the 30-year period of no trophy, of no Premier League. You know, that is my lifetime. So Jurgen Klopp really changed everything. When people talk about like the Liverpool mindset, I was like, yeah, no, like we were losers for a good 10 years there, guys. I don't know. Probably a tiny bit before your time. We were just a bit.
We were definitely losers in my time, mate, as well. Don't worry about that. Until he came in, yeah.
Exactly. So like that was my life pretty much, you know, and obviously 2005, then the Istanbul it was. But even then, we overachieved that year.
It was just a trophy, wasn't it? It was never as good or as consistent as what it is, yeah.
Exactly, absolutely. Yeah. And Jurgen created a monster in Liverpool. But the thing is, aside from him as a manager, and I'm definitely worried about the next stage. I haven't been this uncertain since the start of the pandemic about what the future is going to hold. That's the only thing I could think of that was similar in like just confusion or what's going on. But the thing is, we're going to miss the human. I think we'll get a manager. Absolutely. We'll survive. The club will keep going on, as Mike says. But it'll be the human connection that Jurgen Klopp brought to Liverpool that we will never... hopefully we can get something similar with somebody else, but I know we will not top him in that regard.
Craig, yeah, what he had on the touchline, like, I hate using the word aura. I feel like I've learned it off Twitter at this point, but what the energy he has on the sideline, like, we've all been games and seen it in person. He's like commanding an orchestra, the way he can get crowds going. It's genuinely, he's one of a kind for that. And I think whoever you have in the dugout next season, we've got to give the person grace in the sense that they're not Klopp. You know what I mean? It's almost, it's probably a poor analogy, but it's almost like your dad leaving and getting a stepdad. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to do his best, you know? Yeah. It's not his fault, you know what I mean?
You have to expect something different. You can't compare the two in that regard. And like, if we can compare results to results and keep it to results, then I think the next guy will stand a chance. And, you know, it's a results business, so it'll be fine. But yeah, that's it. We shouldn't be looking at him that way. But the one thing about Klopp and that human side of things is, football is going so commercialized, so like with the money and everything else like that, you can see that with online fans as well, there's a bit of a change in what used to be important, whereas Klopp kind of just reminded us of what football used to be about. He kept bringing that home. He didn't let us forget, week in, week out. If there was a social issue, he would talk about it. You know, he was the leader for the Premier League. So I understand when he talks about getting tired and all that, like he brought on more stress onto himself and other managers would in that regard. He had to be a leading voice for things before other people were. So he was always getting like a lot of unnecessary stick, which what isn't really part of the job for a lot of managers. But that's the type of man he was, and that's why we loved him.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just before we carry on, I'm going to get some comments because there's a few. I'm going to just let the people have the comments on screen. Mikey says, Chelsea nil, Villa 1, and then quickly tells us the goal was disallowed. If you can keep putting these updates in the chat, if you're still in here, Mikey, that would be greatly appreciated. It is still no, I believe. Derek says he's devastated. I think we all are. Georgie says, I can't believe this day has finally come. I think the important thing to remember, and we'll touch on this in a bit more time, it's not over yet. There's still a lot that we can achieve, and I think that's the exciting, if we are going to look for a silver lining in this, which is very difficult, that is it for me, that we are still in every single competition. You know, we can have the best season in Liverpool's recent history in the final season of Jurgen Klopp, which for me would just be unbelievable. And then, you know, you have that parade again. You know, we didn't get to have the parade last time we won the Premier League. Imagine doing that again. But again, we'll get into that in more depth. Anyone think there is more to it than he's fatigued? I think it is pretty widely reported that it's not an illness at this point. I think it is literally just him saying that he feels like his manager style is all about energy, feeding off the crowd. You know, we know how Jurgen Klopp is. And he said if he can't do that anymore, then he can't manage. He said he didn't want to be on three wheels. He says if it's not on four, then he doesn't want to be involved. And it takes a man to admit that, you know. It takes a real strong character to hold his hands up and say, I don't feel up to the task anymore. And that's exactly what he's done. Ali says, Xabi has to be next. And again, we'll touch on that in just a moment. The day we dreaded as Liverpool fans has arrived, says Mr. T. He made us all dream. He made us believe he has earned the right to walk away. After listening to him say his piece, it feels right. Look, I agree with you. At first, I was like so confused as to why he was doing it. But the more I heard him speak about it, the more I heard him speak about how he feels and his family and stuff, it's just like, you know what? Only he understands exactly how I was feeling right now. And if he's the one that decides to walk away, then nobody can really stand in his way. Paddy, let's just touch on the rest of this season then, mate, because it's all clear that we're absolutely gutted and devastated that he will be going in May, and his final game is either going to be the Premier League game, the European game, or the FA Cup game. Do you think this, not that this team needed it this season, because like you said earlier, we're absolutely flying, you know, but do you think that this news now is going to have a positive effect on the team? Are you a bit concerned, or how are you feeling now heading into the rest of the season, mate, after this news?
To be honest, I think it won't affect the players as much as people probably let on. You know, they're all still, at the end of the day, professionals. They've got to do the jobs to the best of their ability, and they have been doing that this season. I think the big thing, what this will do is galvanise the fans inside the grounds. Because, you know, we've got 3.5 months of this fella left, and there's an opportunity, as you say, to do something really special, regardless of whether, you know, the quadruple happens or whatever. There's a real sense, in my mind anyway, that people, like myself, who go to the game week in, week out, we've got to make the most of this team, and the manager who listen deserves every single one of our voices to be at, you know, top of our game every game to get this team over the line. Because listen, Jurgen Klopp deserves to get that adulation at the end of the season, whether that be the Europa League final in Dublin or to get that Premier League and to have that celebration with the fans. He deserves it, and there's a part to be played by the fans, and I just hope that it starts on Sunday against Norwich. It's not a bigger game, but all of a sudden you're seeing people on Twitter, so, you know, I've got to be there on Sunday, got to be there on Sunday. You should have been there anyway, to be honest. Just because circumstances change. Listen, we're two, three months away from maybe the best month we'll ever have supporting Liverpool, regardless of whether it's under Klopp or anyone else. It just so happens that his last game will likely be in the competition where he took his first game in charge. I could be wrong. I don't know when the FA Cup final is, to be totally honest. But I like my poetry in football, and him going out winning the one thing worth winning to a certain degree. He hasn't won yet. It does sit well. And yeah, listen, we're getting bodies back. You know, Thiago was pictured in training. I don't know whether that means he's in training.
Insane PR. But he can't even walk.
Just wheels him out.
It reminds you of the lockdown season when every time we lost, they wheeled out Van Dijk on the training. Go on, mate. Go run around the pitch for five minutes.
I reserve judgment until it's confirmed. But we're getting bodies back. We've got a tough run of games league-wise. But I expect Anfield to be rocking, regardless of who we're playing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mike, I'm going to put the same question to you, mate. You know, just regarding the rest of the season, we're still in every competition, top of the league, we're in a final. Is this, like I said, I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, because I'm not saying we needed any sort of encouragement. They're doing absolutely fine without it. But do you think that this could have that impact? You know, are these guys going to put an extra shift in, or do you think, like Paddy says, is it just going to be business as normal? These guys are all professionals and it's just, you know, carry on as what we've been doing so far.
I think this is the type of season now that potentially, if things go our way and we get a little bit of luck, because you always need a little bit of luck in these things, you'll end up seeing a documentary about it in a couple of years, potentially. It's Klopp's final hurrah. It's the last dance. You know, it's potentially Salah's last hurrah as well. You know, that's going under the radar now, but that could very well be it now, because I don't think Salah would want to play for Liverpool under another manager. I genuinely don't. I think he's one of those types of players. And that's a compliment to him, not an insult. I think the lads would have wanted this anyway. If I'm right, they found out a few days ago from what Klopp said at the presser. Is that right? So they found out a couple of days rather than today, as some people broke. But I've seen mixed reports, whether it was a couple of days ago or today. I've seen a few different reports. Be that as it may, it's going to be raw. It's still going to be fresh for them. I think it will certainly spark a few of them up. When you look at what happened with Ferguson 20-odd years ago at this point, it's like 03 or whatever, when he threatened to retire and then didn't. It had a negative effect. They went on a run of games after that where they didn't get any good results. Craig, you can cast your mind back when he first threatened to retire, but then didn't retire at the end of the year. I read up on this today. That's the reason I say it with confidence.
No, I thought it was the opposite for some reason. So it was the year he actually retired that they won the Premiership then?
So the year they actually retired.
Okay. I was mixing up the two, because they did turn that year around. The year he retired, they did put in a massive
But they went on a bad run of form because it knocked the players. And Neville spoke about that before. I don't think that'll happen with us this time, because I think this is a different scenario. You never know, but I don't think that'll happen. I think the players will step up. This is the last hurrah of, you know, Klopp, which is just mad. But if they needed any more motivation, they've got it. If I could just be honest, a few things I want to see happen. I want to see us win the quad, if that's even feasible. If we somehow do that, that'd be incredible. I want to see Joe Gomez score a winner at Anfield for Klopp. I want to see Darwin Nunez score a hat-trick under Klopp. What else? Yeah,
just on Joe Gomez, by the way, he's the only player that's been here for the entire Klopp.
Yeah.
Technically, you could say Trent as well, but and Curtis Jones. But in
longest serving player.
Joe Gomez.
I don't even know, man. I'm very much lost for words with it. I hope we get the right reaction. Thanks to a very good friend of mine, I will be at the game on Sunday. Shout out, Ben. Ben saw me.
I'm having it back now, mate. I've listened to what Paddy's saying about it.
No, mate, I'm holding on to that like the golden ticket now, mate. That might be my last game of the season. I don't think there'll be any way I can get a ticket after Sunday.
Oh, really?
No, the way these tickets are going now, I doubt it. But it's just going to be... I think you made a good point, Paddy, about the atmosphere side of things. You know, people are like, oh, I've got to be at the game now. Should have been at the game anyway.
It's like this one says, this final day of the game is going to hit like a ton of bricks and I'm not prepared for it, especially that final. It shouldn't be even if... You know, the league title, we're going to lift the trophy, or if it's Klopp's last game or whatever, like you shouldn't dictate what the situation is around the club to go to the games. We're all still going to try and go as much as we can when Klopp's gone. Before Klopp, we tried as well. But yeah, I agree. The prices that people are going to start charging for these tickets now,
I know someone who has his hand in tickets, and the Wolves game, you're looking at $4,500. So good luck with that.
I remember I was on a little side note story for you. When Liverpool had Madrid last year, I was in a taxi on the way up to Liverpool for the last game I went to this season. I was talking to a taxi driver about it. It's always take a pinch of salt when you hear these stories anyway. But he was telling me about, you know, people that flog tickets and how that's kind of ruining the game. And he said the lad for the Madrid game came from Taiwan, definitely not Taiwan. Kuwait, came from Kuwait. And then he paid $2,500 $2,500 for the Real Madrid ticket.
Well,
like, you know what I mean? Like, it's people flogging tickets. I hate that they do it, because I'm happy for the lads that you went the game, but it's more so a case of selling a ticket for $2,500 You're ripping that lad off and you're kind of ruining what it's meant to be about. It's a working class game. You should not be flogging tickets for $2,500 It's just wrong. But that's a
It's bad enough from the actual official tickets as well. Like, you're looking at the Carabao Cup final tickets, the anything from 40 to over 100, it's like
125, I think, is the most expensive. Yeah.
There we are. We could talk about that on a completely different
that's a whole different thing.
Completely different pod, yeah. So, Craig, again, going to put the question to you, and then we'll try and move it on to sort of what we can expect to happen, you know, when the sad day does come. Positive, negative impact on the season? Where do you think we go from this, mate?
Yeah, I think this season will just be special regardless. It has to be. No matter what happens, Klopp is leaving at the end of the year. Like, the guy deserves no less than four trophies. He deserves a lot more. But yeah, I think we'll be fine. I think we have a strong group of players. They're young, and I think that this will just be another challenge. And maybe after last season, the guys who were there could kind of maybe see it coming in a way. You know, he hasn't been shy about speaking about the end of his contract over the last while. So I wouldn't be surprised if they all had kind of had an inkling anyway, just over time. Maybe not the group announcement that he did there, but like, he's an open and honest kind of guy. But no, I think this year will be fine. Obviously, it's going to be strange for them when they come back in the summer. You know, just like, you come into the room you always saw him in. The places we don't see him. You know, that's where they would probably see him more than on the touchline or on the training ground type of thing. When you walk in there and that presence isn't around, I think that'll be when they kind of really have to start adjusting. And I hear, just from a point of view, like, Erwin, I'm a rugby fan as well. So Brian O'Driscoll, I don't know if you know that name, but he's one of the greatest rugby centres ever. And me and four lads, we basically for a month kind of just went out whenever we could, because it was a case of do it for Brian, you know. And everything was for Brian, because when a legend like that is going, you gotta send it off in your own way, because you're not gonna be able to get near him. So you can't tell him how you feel. But I think everyone is just going to bring the noise for the rest of the year. Anytime he looks at the crowd, they'll get going. It won't take much to get them going. And I totally agree, this shouldn't be the case as well, but like, I'd love to just know what the decibel difference will be in some of these games.
Absolutely spot on. I completely agree with everything you guys have just said. I don't think that it changes much in terms of how we go on this season. I think he even said today that, you know, he spoke to the team and that was it, really. There wasn't many conversations about it. They're all professionals and they all got on with training and their job. And that job is ultimately to win his games, which is going to win his trophies. I did see this one quote I want to get up just to touch on, you know, Klopp. And he has branded this whole rebuild as Liverpool 2.0. And I think a lot of people have been confused as to, you know, in the summer he was like, oh, we're refreshed, we're recharged, we're ready to go. And then all of a sudden it's like, he's saying the complete opposite and he doesn't have that energy anymore. And again, I'll say it, only he knows what's going on. Like, it's all speculation otherwise. As far as we're concerned, he's saying that he doesn't have the energy and he doesn't feel like he's the right man to go forward. But what he did say is this: this team is set up for the future. When I said Liverpool 2.0, I didn't mean me forever. There will be a top manager here and we can play good football. It is a wonderful future ahead. And that's all I want. I don't want to be passenger disturbing the process. And you can look at the trophies. You can look at everything Jurgen Klopp's done. You can look at the title races we've had. You can look at the Champions League win we had, the Premier League win, the FA Cup, Carabao. The list goes on. Club World Cup, everything. And I think one of the biggest positives and one of the biggest compliments you can give him is last season when, you know, he goes up to the fans after Brighton, apologising to the fans. He never had anything to apologise for. Nothing was his fault. Like, it made me angry, to be fair, at that moment in time, that he was the one that felt like he had to go and apologise to the fans. And any other manager, most other managers after last season, probably A, would have been sacked, or B, probably would have said, you know what, my time here is done. But this man stayed and he saw big leaders leaving the club. He saw the captain go. He saw the vice captain go. He saw the best DM we've had in over a decade go. Other players go. And he oversaw the rebuild. And he said, you know what? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to set this club up, not just for next season, but the season after, the season after, the season after. You look at the players we've got now. I'm not going to name them because there's literally so many you could name. Aging, the age range is from about 17 to 25. There's so many of them you can pick from the team. I'll just name a few. You've got Sobersai, you've got McAllister, you've got Gravenberch, we've got Bacetic, we've got Jones, we've got Elliott, we've got Trent, Konate. The list goes on. Gakpo. And it's like he's not just done everything once. He set it up so we can do it again. And I just think that's one of the biggest positives and compliments I can give him because, like I said, any other manager would have been sacked. And look, the club was never going to sack him, and rightfully so, because he deserved that. He deserved to have maybe one little blip, even though it wasn't his fault, in my opinion. And then he's also been given the chance to go again and to go again and to rebuild the team and to set us up for the next 10 years. And again, when we look at Jurgen Klopp as the manager, you know, you can look at trophies, you can look at points tallies, that's absolutely fine. But when I look at Jurgen Klopp as the person, that to me is something, like we said before in this pod, that's irreplaceable to me. There's going to be great people out there, I'm sure. But, you know, we look back at videos even just from last week, that lad that went around the AXA training ground in the wheelchair and Klopp was pushing him around. And, you know, it's stuff like that, that to me, the Svenger and Eriksson thing, when he's like, you know what, you can come spend a day here, you know, it's just things like that to me, which makes this man even more special than just a brilliant manager. When you're a person, again, I'm not going to get political, but I think it's fair to say mine and his political views align with each other. And it's like, you don't get that all the time with these guys that are on this amount of money and that have this much power. So he's one of us. He has been since the day he came in. He urged us to, you know, trust in him, believe in him. He even said if we haven't won a title in the first 6 years or 7 years, I think he said he'll be going to Sweden or something as a joke. Well, thankfully we did win one in that amount of time and the rest is history. But, yeah, Paddy, coming to you, mate, on the back of this tweet here, this little report, how important do you think it was that, you know, we had him to oversee this little rebuild? Could you imagine what it would have been like if he left last summer, we got somebody that might not have been experienced as him, nowhere near as good as him, because let's be honest, nobody out there is right now. Yeah, do you think it's vitally important that he was the one that stayed to oversee this little group we've had to go through?
No, absolutely. I mean, I said this to my ma before. Liverpool are a very different prospect than the one he took over in 2015. I mean, when he took over, we had what, one burgeoning world-class player in Phil Coutinho. Firmino was, you know, here, thereabouts, and the rest was, you know, not great. So he had to do that first time around, done it over a number of years. He set the team and the club, actually, as a whole, up so that the next fella who comes in, whether, you know, may that be Roberto De Zerbi, Xabi Alonso, anyone, it's ready-made for success. You've just got to find the right fit, tactical fit, the right man to get the right stuff about out these players. If he'd have gone last season and you know, the likes of Alonso might have been available last summer, the likes of, you know, De Zerbi as well, I think we'd have been in a hell of a lot of trouble. So listen, you know, credit to him for sticking about and, you know, getting the right players in for the club and the ethos that, regardless of who's in charge, it's the ethos of what Liverpool fans want to see. Do you want to see commitments? Do you want to see, you know, the passion on the pitch? Do you don't want to see, you know, a Mourinho style of play, you know, the boring defensive? Do you want to see, you know, cliche heavy metal football? Do you want to see, you know, players who actually want to die for the shirt? And it looks to me like he's got a group of people in there now that would, you know, I mean, I'd certainly go to war for him. I wouldn't go to war for the country, but I'd go to war for Jurgen Klopp, certainly. but yeah, listen, the next fella who comes in might actually have a bigger job on his hands than people may think. purely because of the way Klopp has done. So listen, that's another thing you've got to thank him for. Doesn't make it any less bad, like, and less sad. But yeah, it's in a very good position, the club. I just hope they get the decision right.
Yeah, speaking of decisions as well, Mike, I'm coming to you. Billy Hogan was live with Klopp at about 3 p.m. today, and they were speaking, obviously, about the news and, you know, questions around it. They were obviously never going to give out names, and they made it clear that they won't get drawn into the name game. But Billy Hogan said this, that we will go through the process again, the same one that brought Jürgen in 9 years ago, and that will be done in private. When we get to a place where we have further news on that, we can discuss it at that point, but we won't get into the name game. I'm going to ask you, Mike, because this has just come out so randomly, there's only 3.5 months left of the season. It doesn't seem to me like Liverpool would ever panic over something like this and just go and appoint some random manager. Do you have a sneaky feeling or any sort of inkling that they may have already approached someone? And obviously, this is just pure opinions. This is not any speculation. We're just literally giving our own opinion. Do you feel like by now, by this point, and by the way, Klopp did tell them, I think he said in it was October or November, he let them know. Do you believe by now they will have a very good understanding and idea of who they want to bring in after Klopp?
I think first and foremost, Klopp and the club, I don't think, wanted to announce this now. I don't. Yeah. I think something was going to leak. Yeah. I really do. I think something was going to leak. The way Klopp was in that presser gave the... And I could be completely off, as I said.
But can I jump in on that, Mike? Sorry. Because I think Billy Hogan might have said something along the lines of that basically they can't go to the next stage without announcing it. So, like, if they go looking for another manager now, then that news will be out in the world that we're looking for another manager. And yeah, then we don't have control of the story anymore. So sorry, I didn't mean to take over that. But it's just my thinking would be that they would then, now that they've got that announcement out there, they can start approaching candidates with that. They could have an agent kind of agreement maybe beforehand. Sorry.
No, that's fair. I take that back then, if that's the case, because I missed the start of the presser, so that's helpful information. Billy Hogan was very relaxed in the presser. Klopp didn't feel, for me, Klopp still didn't sound like he wanted to be there when he was answering the questions. They were asking him to reminisce, and he was like, I don't want to answer nonsense right now. He wanted to talk about the Norwich game. I don't think he got a single question about Norwich, which I felt bad for Norwich fans. I'm sure they were, sure it would have been nice to hear about Klopp talk about the club. But yeah, listen, in terms of the future, in terms of having someone set in, they'll have a list. They're an organised outfit, FSG. You know, say what you want about them. To be honest, I was quite glad Klopp kind of quickly was like, yeah, listen, this has nothing to do with FSG in the presser. Like, I'm not an FSG in person by any means, but it was nice because I'd seen so many ludicrous takes saying FSG have forced him out. And
Many agendas, mate, flying around today. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I saw it because we want to get a fly in the wall documentary. Like, I know he said a few years back if that ever happened, he'd quit, but come on, like,
people are nonsensical. And it was frustrating.
Just when financial regulation comes in and everything, I don't think.
Yeah, it's like, I think people just do anything they can to get some motion, but it is what it is, you know. But yeah. For me personally, I quite appreciated him putting Jose Enrique in his place, which is quite sick. Hey, what's going on, Khan? yeah, so listen, we'll see what happens. I think they'll have a list. I remember vaguely before Rodgers was even sacked, there were rumors about, you know, FSG already having a list of people that they had in mind. And the way they moved very swiftly after Rodgers was sacked kind of gave the inclination that they'd already been making moves behind the scenes. So they're not people that act rashly. They're not people that, you know, would have announced this without anything in mind. Billy Hogan did seem very calm as well in the presser. I'm curious as to when they would announce a new manager. I honestly don't know. This is uncharted territory for me personally. To be honest, the only time I've seen something like this happen that I actually took notice of would have been the Ferguson situation, where Ferguson announced he was leaving, or when Wenger did. But they didn't announce the replacements until, I don't even think they, not even didn't announce, I don't think they had the replacements lined up till near enough, right near the end. Whereas I don't really feel like that would be the case with us. I could be wrong. I will say, different to those situations, I do think the squad is young and there to be moulded by whoever comes in, whereas I think the Arsenal situation was Wenger overstayed his welcome and Ferguson wrung that team dry for all it had. So it does leave me with a lot of confidence for whoever comes in next. I've seen the list. We've all seen the list of people that could be coming in. I know Xavi's at the top. I'm not one going around saying it has to be Xavi. I'm very open-minded. Whoever we get, I'm curious. I'm going to retract that and just quickly mark a few off from that one. I don't want Gerrard at all. Listen, Gerrard's an absolute legend of the club. He's not a good manager from what I've seen so far. But I don't know much about Luciano, I'm going to be honest, so I won't comment. Simeone, I think, is probably the best manager there. Philosophy. However, he's very emotional on the sidelines, so actually, maybe, who knows, but the quality of football...
That would be class, but I think it's his style of play more than anything to me.
He's a very Mourinho style of play, style of manager, sorry.
I'll say this, if we got Simeone, which I don't think we will, because that man's heart is attached to Atletico, I wouldn't complain. I'd actually be open to that, because it's something different. Now, Guzman, I'm not necessarily sold on. I like him, but I don't know. Xabi, I'd back. De Zerbi, the last time we went for a manager that was playing exciting football that was in a smaller team was Rodgers. I'm a bit scarred by that. De Zerbi, however, I think is tactically brilliant. Not sure how... I don't think he would get the best reception from the fans to start, but I think he's a very good manager. Pep Linders, I'm going to say this now. I think he'll make a quality manager. I really do. I think, like the comment said, he is leaving. I think if he were to ever manage Liverpool, it wouldn't be next after Klopp. I think he'll be a top manager, though. He's a phenomenal coach. So, I wish him the best. And Luis Enrique, keep away from the football club. So, yeah, Gerrard and Luis Enrique, keep far, far away. The rest, I'm open to. But I think we can't start now being like, it has to be this person. Otherwise, we're doomed. That's not how we got to go into the next manager. We've got to give the next person who takes over grace and time. Because you can't replace Klopp. You can only sort of be the next step to it, you know?
Absolutely. And coming to you, Craig, let's just talk about... I don't really want to talk about this, but we kind of have to talk about who we want to come in. And I don't want anyone to come in. I don't want any of these managers, respectfully. I don't. I want Klopp for another 5 years, but it's not going to happen. So we just got to get with it and accept it and look to the future. But any of these or anyone that's not on there that you'd potentially be up for? Or
a lot of my Man United friends here back home are throwing down the Stephen Kenny, the ex-Irish manager who recently got sacked after probably, I think, maybe two wins in like 2 years or something. And I said, here, that'll be an improvement on Moyes. So, I didn't want to have this conversation beforehand either. I was kind of, while I was listening to what Klopp was saying over the last few years, I was just kind of denying what he was saying. And when he mentioned re-energy, just like you guys earlier on, I was going, okay, let's, manifest a new contract into existence here. But really, it kind of, when that conversations were always going on, I never wanted to talk about the next guy because it just thought it'd be a bit too far away, you know? And like, you always say, oh, Lanzo, maybe a few more years to develop. I was like, that would be ideal in 4 years, 5 years time. everyone would be happy there with that. Win-win for everyone. But yeah, here, obviously, I think Alonso will get a bit of forgiveness from fans if results don't go his way straight away. I think that's probably something that... But we would like as well. We'd like to be able to, we don't want to tear the new manager apart, whoever he is, if things aren't going his way straight away. We got to still act like we did with Klopp. You know, we're not doubters. We are believers. So whoever the new guy
comes,
exactly. Yeah, we're winners. And we're not just going to moan the whole way through it. So yeah, then the thing, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it either. De Zerbi, apart from his anger issues, is a good manager, you know, and like that's the only thing. You'd be a bit concerned about him getting a red card and getting the PGMOL on our backs even further again with whatever our new manager is. But to be honest, yeah, just out of all of them, I would say no to Simeone by the style. Obviously, I don't know why Jared's there for a reason, but
yeah, it's not gonna happen.
But if you think back to Klopp saying he will manage this club one day, like
I disagree. I think it's.
I know. But like, you know, Klopp said that himself.
Rangers were like going unbeaten in the league, and things were looking positive. Unfortunately, since then he's decimated Villa, and he's out in Saudi on a 10-game winless run.
But he got alcohol unbanned, and like, you know.
You know, depending on who you are, you might see that as a win. Some might not see that as a win.
Paddy, do you have a preference on these?
I think Alonso just makes a lot of sense. Purely because of the fact what Craig said, he's got a bit of you know, he's got credit in the bank, really, for what he did at Liverpool, even though he's only here for four seasons, I think, at the end. Obviously, he played a pivotal part in Istanbul. You know, I don't need to explain what he did. I just think it's important that the next manager, as much as Klopp maybe didn't at the start, I think it's now important for the next guy to understand what the club's about, understand the fans, understand the ideology of the club. And, you know, Xabi's experienced in it. He knows the score. He's not fresh to the club in any sense. The only thing is, if he ends up winning the Bundesliga undefeated, who's to say he says no and wants to give the Champions League a crack with Leverkusen? Obviously, that's a bridge we'll have to cross in a few months' time. Outside of Alonso and, you know, the Zerbi, there's not really many people that really spring out to me. I'll probably get a bit of stick for it, but I don't mind Thomas Frank as a manager. I think he has a lot of characteristics he shares with Klopp. Obviously, it would be a very much Graham Potter to Chelsea type of move, where he's never managed, a side such as Liverpool. You know, and Liverpool, let's face it, are a bigger club than Chelsea. The expectation, as much as it's there at Chelsea, it's there at Liverpool now because of recent events, what we've won, what we've missed out on. That would be a risk. I really do think that. But Nagelsmann will never go away because of his style of football and all of that. But he's never really done anything to really sell me, to be completely honest. It would just... Nagelsmann screams to me, probably 16, 17 Liverpool. It would be that erraticness. It would be that you score four, we'll score five. And that's why we lost the league under Rodgers, because that mentality it can't win your football leagues. Nagelsmann, I wouldn't say no to if I had to, but I'd sooner Xabi Alonso. I said this to my mum before. Alonso's only been around for, like, you know, a hot minute, to be honest, as Craig said. If this was four years down the line and, you know, he's won a Bundesliga with Bayer Leverkusen and maybe got another job in between and the Liverpool job comes available, you're like, okay, yeah, he's been here, done it, got the T-shirt in Europe. Now's the time to, you know, make the move to Liverpool. But we're not at that luxury. Time's not really on our side because we want the new guy in, preferably, you know, as soon as physically possible, after the last game of the season, whatever that may be. And it could be the last game of the season is Liverpool v Bayer Leverkusen, which would just be just a mad situation. That's but Alonso's the one that makes sense to me.
I completely agree. I think out of all the ones that have been mentioned, Alonso is, to be honest, the one that does stick out. I share the exact same thing as you, Paddy. It's like, I'm not doubting Alonso is a great manager and will be a world-class manager, but my only reserve on him would be that he's been doing it for 2 minutes and he has had an exceptional season so far. I think even before he went to Leverkusen, I think all of us would have said that he is going to make a top manager one day. I think he was at Sociedad's B team doing well there. You know, you just know that people like him, when they do go on to be coaches and managers, you know, they are going to do well just because of how they understand the game. But yeah, it's the experience side for me. But I think a lot of teams now are heading that way. You look at Arsenal with Arteta, very young for a manager. he's, as much as, you know, we do banter Arsenal, they've spent a lot of money, but he's got him in a good spot. So it does seem that that is the way teams might be heading now. The experienced heads seem to be dying out a little bit. There's not many of them left. I mean, Mourinho's available. We'll never want him in a million years. There's a few more. Ancelotti's just signed a new deal. Mike, please don't play devil's advocate.
I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm not doing it today, but I'm just saying it would be very funny if just 3 months, give him three. I just want to see Mourinho.
He'd probably only be here for 3 months if we gave him the job anyway.
This is what
just before we move on, because there's just one more topic I want to talk on before we do wrap up. We are going to do, just a heads up, a more in-depth Klopp stream at the end of the season when it's all done, when we've won the quad, and you know we've all had a few bevs. We're going to come on here and we're going to talk about Klopp in more detail. This is just a bit of a, you know, like an emergency one that we had to come on and talk about today. Alonso did do his press conference today and he was asked about this and he said that, honestly, I don't have a direct answer. I'm happy here right now, that's for sure. I'm only thinking about Leverkusen. And I think it is important to remember that they are in a title race. So I wouldn't have thought that anything would come out about Alonso officially if he is the one we get anytime soon, because I don't think Leverkusen need that destruction. I don't think it would be fair on them, because let's be honest, I think everybody that loves football would love another team in that country to win the league. I don't think it would be fair on them, the fans, the players, Alonso himself, to have that disruption. I think if it is him, we'll probably find out when the season's done. Say again, mate.
He couldn't hide his smile.
He couldn't hide his smile, and there was a bit of a twinkle in his eye. Yeah. Just before we wrap up, guys, because again, I don't want this to drag on for too long. I am probably going to go off and cry a bit more when this stream is done. There was a comment from Ethan, and I just want to bring this up. The thought of losing and then losing Salah makes me absolutely sick. And I'm just going to go around the group real quick. Paddy, start with you, mate. Do you think that Klopp leaving has any impact at all on the contract situation for Trent, Salah, Virgil? I think there's a couple more, but they're the main three. Or do you think that, you know, they will remain committed and they'll carry on after Jurgen Klopp?
I don't really know, is the honest answer to that question. It's a really tough one, and there's literally no way of knowing, because I'm not Virgil van Dijk and I don't know how he thinks. Hopefully, the way they're looking at it is, regardless of the man who comes in, we've still got our team, and the team is still very, very good, and there's still plenty of silverware to be won, regardless of who comes in at this point. Salah worries me a little bit, purely because, regardless of the Saudi league, you know, seeming exodus that's happening at the minute, they're still going to want him, and there's going to be an opportunity for Liverpool to make a lot of money on Mo Salah, and it's a decision I think they'll take. I think they'll take it if you know a mega offer does come in. Trent is a weird one as well, because you know whenever a scouser comes through at Liverpool, you don't associate them with them playing anywhere else but Liverpool. But you can't tell me Trent Alexander-Arnold wouldn't do a job at Real Madrid, or a top European team. He's the one I'd be concentrating on, if I'm completely honest. And if there's stuff over, do Van Dijk as well, because listen, if he's going to play at the level he's played at this season for the next 3 years, you know, be the Thiago Silva, then it's a no-brainer. I wouldn't be opposed to cashing in on Salah if the deal's good enough. But I don't necessarily think the managerial choice will affect it. I think the wheels are probably already in motion for all three of them to renew, to be totally honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think out of the three that I just mentioned there, I think Trent is the one I have the most faith, because obviously he's just been appointed the vice captaincy. So when Virgil goes, and touch wood, that's not for any time soon, he is the one that's going to lead this club. You know, when we win trophies, it is going to be him on, you know, lifting the trophies. And you know, local lad. It's his boyhood club. He's been here his entire life. I just don't see him anywhere else. I had the same thing with Stevie. I know he went to LA Galaxy, but come on, that nobody really counts that, do they? I know Stevie's head was turned slightly, but I think Liverpool are going in a different direction to what we were going when Stevie was considering Chelsea amongst, you know, other clubs that maybe came in for him. I think Trent, you know, will know that this club can go to places and that we are on the right path. And, you know, he's not signed a new deal, but hopefully we'll sign a new deal that reflects that. He will be one of the highest paid earners at the club. And I know it's not all about that for him, but that's obviously an incentive, isn't it? It would be for anybody. Virgil, for me, I think, again, I think he signs as the captain. I think maybe like a 2-year one or something like that. I wouldn't have thought it would be like a crazy one. Salah, that remains to be seen, doesn't it? Because if the new manager does come in, say it is Xabi Alonso for the sake of this, you know, we need as much money as we can, and nobody would want Mo Salah to leave. In an ideal world, we keep Mo Salah, we invest 200 million in a team. We should be able to do that. We are Liverpool. We should be able to spend that amount of money and it not be a problem. But we all know that's not always the case. And there could be an argument where a Saudi club comes in or another club comes in, 100 mil, money you'll never see again from Mo Salah. And they think, you know what? Xabi, go sign Florian Wirtz. Go sign Jeremy Frimpong so you can play Trent in midfield. Go sign these players. And yeah, we've seen it. We've seen the reports today that it's not just Klopp, it's Pep, it's his staff, it's even George Schmadke. They're all going. So, Craig, could it just be that even in terms of the team that we are going to see more of those refreshers go into that, and sort of the new manager can come in and he can implement what he wants with the players he wants, essentially?
Yeah, like there's actually a part of me that's, you know, is kind of hopeful in that regard, because I don't, you know, I'm trying to listen to what Klopp's saying, and in terms of he's saying you always need to be developing, and that's something that he might not be ready to do constantly as well, because the game is always changing. Or sorry, no, that was what De Zerbi said. I think De Zerbi said, you know, you have to keep developing. There's always something new to learn every day. So like a young manager coming in and with a young team, they might be, you know, better at adapting to the new challenges of the game over time. And I think that's something Klopp might be able to see himself. And I think we're learning lessons from the Fergie, the, you know, and how many times has this happened, you know, Wenger and Fergie. So we can maybe learn some lessons from that. You know, don't keep the backroom staff in, let the new manager come in and sack them, and then, you know, create this uproar when as soon as they start. So, you know, give them a fresh slate. Whoever's coming in, it's going to be their team, their people. And if they change the system, their system. So I think it's the best thing to do for the club in that regard. It is going to be weird. You know, seeing like everyone gone, Pep, Victor as well. I don't know, man. I don't know. The future will tell what's in store for us. But I just think, yeah, whatever mistakes some other clubs have made in the past, we're not going to make those again. You even saw Klopp himself, and he's like, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with my predecessor. Why would I do that? Any little thing you can think about from the mistakes United made, we've probably already. Oh, today we've actually highlighted it and pointed out to people. It's like, we're not doing that, we're not doing that, and we're not doing that. So like, yeah, like straight away other fans be like, okay, how long is he going to come back to England? Straight away Klopp, he knocks that on its head. So any of these kind of, I suppose, the more worrying questions that might pop into Liverpool fans' head, the club have, I suppose, tried to mitigate those as much as possible already. So, sorry, I just went off on a tangent there. I have no idea what question you even asked me.
It's fine, mate. No, it's absolutely fine. And like I say, guys, we are going to wrap up there, because I think an hour was a great amount of time, and I'm going to catch us a good off at the FA Cup game, and hopefully City will lose, because that will give us an even bigger chance of another trophy. But, yeah, look, it's tough. The conversations will go on, I'm sure. Every single pod we do now until the end of the season, these convos are going to be brought up in some capacity. So make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you like the stream, you leave comments, like, and stuff. We will be back here on Sunday evening to talk about the Norwich game, whatever the result may be. Paddy, Craig, and Mike, thank you for jumping on, lads. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to think about life without Jurgen Klopp, but you know, this is part of the game, I guess. We knew this day would come in at some point, and we didn't want it to come now. I don't think anybody did, but, you know, it's coming. It's going to come in 3.5 months, and we just need to try and enjoy every moment we have together with this special manager, because I will say, I will go as far to say there's not going to be another like him in my lifetime. I wouldn't have thought. And I think instead of, you know, some people will talk about, have we done enough? Did we win enough? Let's just enjoy what we do have and what we are going to do this season, because I said it before the ball was kicked. I think we win 2 trophies this season minimum. I think we win the League Cup. I think we win the Europa League. Anything more than that would be absolutely incredible. So whatever we have left, let's just enjoy it, cherish it, enjoy this special manager. Back him if you're at the games. Make sure you sing. Make sure you're loud. Again, we'll be back here after every single game to discuss it. So take care, guys. Smash the like button, subscribe, and we'll see you Sunday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.